Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 27th on the West Coast, now April the 28th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and welcome everyone to what we call Wellness Wednesday. And before we bring our guest, Dr. Wayne Pickering, on board, I thought I'd play a song that actually applies to the message. And this is a recording from Nellie Mackay that goes back, to about 2003. At the time, she was 18 years old and composed and performed the keyboards and is doing all the singing on this. When we look at one of the issues that Dr. Pickering has mentioned on some past shows that we've done this month, one of the points that he alludes to that is the cause or one of the root causes of our demise in terms of our health and both physical and mental, as well as the spiritual quality of our life and also our successes or our failures. What contributes to that is the word conformity. And this song isn't called conformity, but in search of conformity, and in search of something else, which we usually fail to identify, but Nellie identified it in this song, we all presume that the status quo is to be respectable.
There's a rich boy, but he doesn't spend. He just drinks his Poland Spring. He's a quick boy, walking round the bend, or at home alone reading. And he tries to do good, and he tries to do right. So he does what he should, but he's got to subscribe to the rules of the tribe. Now you're playing for the team. Everybody loves to love a winner. And you're busting the begin. Everybody knows you're no beginner. But either from self, things ain't what they seem. You're the respectable member of society, but you don't have nothing on me. You got your East Side certified pedigree, but you won't have nothing to see. Because I warned you, and they would scorn you. But you never did. When you're going for the kill, everybody wants to make it happen. And you make 100 mil, everybody wants to scratch your back then. But all the freaks say, oh, things ain't what they seem. You're the respectable member of society, but you don't have nothing on me. You got your upper crust in a tax sanctimony, but you won't have nothing, you'll see. Because I told you that I wouldn't mold you, but you never did. Saying, ah, he's a grown man and he wears a tie and his laugh is hard and fast. He's an old man far before his time and his jacket holds a flask. And he tried to do good and he tried to do right. So he did what he could, but he had to subscribe to the rules of the tribe. Now you're looking for a queen. Everybody talks too much and argues, and it makes you want to scream. Don't these little punks realize who they're talking to? But Alice Grubb say, oh, things ain't what they seem. You're the respectable members of society, but you don't have nothing on me. You got your caterers and Prada and your maitre d', but you won't have nothing, you'll see. Because I warn you, they would burn you. But you never get offended. You're the respectable members of society, but you don't have nothing on me. You're the respectable members of society. You're so respectable. You're the respectable members of
so. That's Nellie Mackay from her album Get Away From Me. Respectable. Tonight's guest comes to us on Wellness Wednesday. Say that 10 times real fast. Wellness Wednesday, Wellness Wednesday. He is an author, an international professional motivational speaker. He's an award-winning triathlete. He is the 1996 and 1997 Healthy American Fitness Leader Award nominee, and he is also licensed in the state of Florida as a nutrition counselor, approved for continuing education for the Florida and Alabama Boards of Pharmacy. And he's a nutritional performance coach, life management consultant, whose sole purpose is teaching people how to be the healthiest person on the planet and not the wealthiest person in the grave. In other words, I guess he teaches people disrespect. No, I'm just kidding. My good friend, Dr. Wayne Pickering. Welcome to the show, Dr. Wayne.
Thank you, Don. Let me tell you, you know, you mentioned something here, and I'm glad you brought it back to surface about the conformity and how very true that is. I think I've narrowed it down to the two major problems that contribute to the bulk of our unhealthiness, unhappiness, and a myriad of things. And they both begin with C, conformity and consumption. We're just consuming way, way, way too much, not only in food, but just stuff.
Things, yeah.
Stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah, things. And actually, all of this could be really totally eradicated by also a couple C's, if you will. Control the choices. Control our choices. So I'm glad you brought that up, really. But do you want to maybe rehash a little bit about anything that we've covered so far to kind of move us in? Or?
Yeah, that's totally up to you. The reason I brought that up is because I see people the past couple of days this week really moving back into conformity. You know, you have some news that finally the certificate of live birth has been presented, and again, we have another fictitious documents and contradictions and all that. And it's really wringing people out. It's zapping their life force. And in the pursuit of being in the mode, if you will, you know, conforming to styles, conforming to what others say and what others think, regardless of if it makes sense or not, or if it's even their cup of tea. So that's basically why I picked that.
And even the food, goodness sake. Now, Yeah, let me guarantee a couple things. In this, we're going to start talking here now about how to get well. Let's get well once and for all. And then once we get the people well, what is the use if we don't teach them how to stay well for life? I was watching a little video clip here this evening on how 30 days to kick diabetes. And I mean, these are hundreds and hundreds of people who were totally obese. Fine, they got their sugar under control in 30 days. So there's three things that I will guarantee you right off the bat with this section of this whole series, Getting Well. You're probably going to hear some things, some ideas, I should say, and some information that you've never heard before or that you're probably pretty familiar with. But the second thing I'll guarantee is that you, if you use this information, you will definitely see an increase in your performance and a definite decrease in your downtime, without question. And here's the third one, that you will be able to use what you're going to learn immediately. You don't have to go to any school. This is your body. We can do anything we want, but here is something that you must discontinue immediately. Quit talking about your illness. Got to stop doing that. Because most people do this, Don, because they get more attention from the problem than they do if they embrace the solution. So,
yes.
Don't you agree?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Yeah, but my advice is to start associating with healthy people. Now, here is an awesome piece of wisdom I learned several years ago, and I think it's a good fit. If you put a rotten fish in a bucket and a good fish in the same bucket, we've got two rotten fish.
And a rotten bucket.
Yeah. And we're only as good as the company we keep. Associate yourself with healthy, active people and watch for some credible positive results with your health and your life. Now, I would have never competed in those 50 triathlons if I'd have gone and sat in the malls all day or gone to movies all the time or sat in the bars and what have you. So the first thing, first of all, I have so many triathlete friends that they made me feel like I could do them. And so help me, I did 50 of them. The only reason I stopped there, because they're very time-consuming, and I got in quite a few bike wrecks. And after a while, you know, it takes longer to heal and all of that thing. So anyway, the first thing we have to do with our health is to start associating ourselves with health-conscious people, and secondly, stop making ourselves sick. So we talked just briefly here as we left last week together on healing versus curing. So let me just reiterate that, and then I think this whole thing will unfold for you. Healing is full of happiness. Curing is full of fear. Healing is positive. Curing is negative. Healing is permanent. Curing is temporary. And I would like to suggest that we do everything we can to promote healing and discourage all that garbage that promotes curing. Curing is something mankind tries to do, and healing is something the body will do when we give it a chance. And we're going to go into a lot of detail here during this interview, but this is the age of responsibility, everybody. So it's all up to us to make this whole thing happen. We're in total charge of our body. Not your church, not some doctor, not some mother, not your spouse, you. Understand how your body works as it belongs to you. Now, the reason I tell you this is because I teach it lifestyle, totally free of all aches, pains, disease, and I can do anything I like when it comes to my health, as I'm in total charge of my health, and you are too. It's all a mindset. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'll never prescribe any remedies, treatments. I don't diagnose specific illnesses or conditions of any kind like that. I'm a disease prevention specialist and a nutritional performance coach, so we don't attempt to cure anything. But if we think we can apply something externally to dismiss what we did internally were sadly mistaken. Now, one more thing I want everybody to consider. I don't want this interview series to indicate that I'm one of these woo-woo type of guys, one of these radical type of people who downplay the medical profession. I'm not, because the medical profession doing some incredibly wonderful things. And I would be totally remiss if I didn't expound, I should say, on some of their virtues. The artificial insemination, where people are having babies who could never have it without that great procedure. Brain surgeons who are saving lives by the thousands because of so many accidents and so many other complications at birth. Heart problems that are performed on a daily basis. It's awe-inspiring. And, of course, I could go on and on, so let's give credit where credit is due. My whole thrust with this series is to show you that you have options with your getting well and then staying well for life. It doesn't come out of a pill. It doesn't come out of a potion, a lotion. It doesn't come out of a food. It doesn't come out of an herb. It doesn't come out of any of that stuff. Nothing cures. And it's too bad that radiation, chemotherapy, and surgery are the only accepted, quote-unquote, forms of treatment for cancer in this country. It's a sad reality. And I'll say this right up front. They have a captive audience because most people, I'm finding, they only want to when the want to is more than the effort. And the boob tube, people are watching too much of it. It's the disease tube, really, is what we call it. Sickness is huge business, and since we fear what we don't know, they have a captive audience. Now, oh sure, everybody wants to look and feel good, but we always want the easy way out. That's why scams are so plentiful these days, Don, catering to the people who want the easy way out. And it's the same way with the finances. We hear of those few that get rich and these get-rich-quick scheme kind of things. I'll say this. Getting rich quick is hard. Getting rich slow is easy. Same with your health. It's a nice, but the nice thing about our health is we're already healthy automatically by design, and we're sick only by default. And it's a gift, but maintaining it and regaining it is a continual process, and depending on how far we let our health deteriorate, it's going to depend on how long it's going to take to get it back. So let me share a little story here, if I may, Don.
Sure.
And it's all about this man. Let's go back to giving credit where credit is due with the medical community. You've got some great physicians. You've got some lousy ones. You've got some great finance people. You got some lousy ones. You got some great nutritionists. You got some lousy ones. So there's good and bad in every profession. So here is a man. Well, by the way, we've got to stand up. We the people. Not black, not white, not this, not we the people. And we have all these options, but we don't know. We're kind of being deprived of it. Here's a man whose family was German. I want to read you this little story. Was German upper class prior to World War II. You might have heard this, but I think it's a good fit here. He owned a number of large industries in the States. When he was asked about how many German people were true Nazis, the answer he gave was a staggering few. Here's what he says. Very few people were true Nazis, he said, but many enjoyed the return of the German pride, and many more were too busy to care. He said, I was one of those who just thought the Nazis were a bunch of fools. So the majority of us just sat back and let it all happen. Then before we knew it, they owned us. And we had lost total control, and the end of the world came. My family lost everything. He said, I ended up in a concentration camp. The Allies destroyed my factories. We're told again and again by experts and talking heads that Islam is the religion of peace and that the vast majorities of Muslims just want to live in peace. Now, that's maybe true, but it's entirely irrelevant, he says. It's meaningless fluff to make us feel better and meant to somehow diminish the amount of fanatics storming across the globe in the name of all that. And it's the fanatics who march, It's the fanatics who wage any one of the 50 shooting wars worldwide. It's the fanatics. Communist Russia was made up of Russians who just wanted to live in peace. Yet the Russian communists were responsible for the murder of about 20 million people. The average Japanese individual prior to World War II, the article reads, was not a warmongering sadist. Yet Japan murdered and slaughtered its way across Southeast Asia in an orgy killing that included murders of over 12 million Chinese civilians, and most were killed by the sword, the shovel, and the bayonet. The whole point here is, the medical profession, they're doing some wonderful things. It's up to you. You've got the opportunity here. You've got all of the stuff. Don is bringing some excellent things to show on all avenues: the wellness, the personal accomplishment, so many things you're bringing to the table. So this is your body, everybody, and you can do whatever you want to get well and stay well for life. Now, with all that said, where do you want to go from here tonight, Don?
Well, I think we were talking about disease and its last week and its relationship to why we are sick. Or, in other words, you defined disease. I think I asked you to define it so that people understood, because we say, well, I'm sick, I have this disease. In other words, you're making a declaration when you say that. You feel ill, you don't feel well, and you possess something. It's not you. You're holding on to it.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. I thought about that all week, and really that's, in the nutshell, that's what it is. And I don't mean to step on your toes, because you're the expert on this topic, but just my own intuition, my own perception of what disease is. It's almost like we have maybe several psychoses, in subconscious psychoses, that we want to be pitied. We want people to pay attention to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a good alibi for our laziness or our apathy as well. Which, very well said. You know, we've been trained.
And there's lots of things you can do. You know, there's a lot of alternative medical treatments. I mean, I have my favorite way of getting well safely, which we'll be covering here in either tonight or even next week, I'm sure, because I want to really get into that. But a lot of folks keep asking me, what is osteopathy? What is acupuncture? What is reflexology? And what do each of these mean? So I thought maybe we could go into just a little thumbnail sketch of what's available. And this way, when somebody springs a new one on you, you'll have at least a little something to go on. Acupuncture is nothing more than a way of alleviating pain and increasing your immunity by balancing energy flow in the body. You have aromatherapy, where they use essential oils of plants. And then you've got Ayurvedic medicine, chiropractic medicine, where the chiropractic adjustments to the spine allow that optimum nerve signals to reach these different body organs. A great modality. You've got the craniosacral therapy, where they gently manipulate the bones of the head to treat diseases and restore health. You got herbal medicines, hypnotherapy, homeopathy. That's a non-toxic medicine that stimulates the body's own ability to heal. So there's merit in a lot of these. You got naturopathic medicine, of which I am, and then massage therapy, orthomolecular therapy, osteopathy, and reflexology, very good. I'm a reflexologist as well. That's where you work with the reflex zones of the hands and the feet to help stimulate those organs that are being deprived. Most people are eating things that are so toxic that they just interrupt the whole flow of blood, nerve signals, and everything. And you've got the Gerson therapy. You've got Chinese medicine. So try to remember this. If you're going to, here's a good line. The fox that chases two rabbits loses both of them. So to do two things is to do neither. When you are finding something that you know that's working, stick with it until you get the desired results. And then the most important piece of wisdom comes about. Don't tell anybody what you're doing, for goodness sakes, because people are always down on what they're not up on. And it's always the littlest dogs that make the most noise. So don't tell anybody what you're going to do. People like to criticize, especially when it's not the norm. So we don't believe in cures here. Vigorous health and disease are all natural, and it's normal for all nature's creatures, including us humans. And all life is subject to the laws of nature. We pay to play. There's no doubt about it. If you junk out, you're going to pay. And if we jump out of a 10-story building, we're not going to go northeast. We're going to go down. So when we violate the natural laws, we got to pay. We pay to play, always without exception. Even if we don't feel it or aware of it immediately, it will happen. But here's the nice thing. When we live in accordance with the principles of our very existence, then we thrive in health and happiness. That's what I love about what we do here. It's timeless, it's generic, and it never changes. Just like an airplane flies just at right and safely when all the conditions of flight have been met, and we can enjoy sickness-free, high-energy health when the conditions of health are met. So, as I say, we will pay to play. It's just a law. Now, let's move on here this way. Nature had everything right to start with. All of our problems, as you inadvertently alluded to a moment ago, really, we're hanging on to this. All of our problems of life have already been solved. The answers are already within us. So there's no more guesswork on how to be the healthiest person on the planet and not the wealthiest person in the grave. Now, let me conclude this, my thoughts here. I know you've heard this old saying, one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, three to get ready, three to get ready. It seems like we're always getting ready to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I reflect on that bumper sticker a lot of times, Don, that says, the guy who dies with the most toys wins. Well, guess what? He still died.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and he can't take him with him.
I have a book here, right here in my hands right now. It's called, everybody, you might want to get your pen and paper out. This is very good. It's called World Keys to Health and Long Life by Dr. Bernard Janssen, J-A-N-S-E-N. World Keys to Health and Long Life by Dr. Bernard Janssen. And I'm looking at a picture right now, Don, of this guy who's 147, chopping wood. Hello. And another guy here who's 158. You can go to half.com. And there's a lady down the street that just passed here a few weeks ago. She was 105, and her boyfriend was 96. I said, Francis, you're robbing the cradle, honey. She said, there. When you get this age, you don't have much opportunity. She's either. Here he is in his mid-90s, greeter of the year by the entire Walmart chain. So we have choices, everybody. Let's never let age be our cage.
Yes, well said. I agree. I feel like I'm 18. Not all the time, but my mindset is I'm 18.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this, I can do that. There's no limitation, and I do things that other people my age will not even attempt. And so I know firsthand that what you say is true. It begins with a mindset.
Yes. Do you know, I think I made mention, I can't remember if I did, pardon me, we do so many interviews that that sometimes I think I said something on your show and didn't. Everything stems from two areas, a thought and energy. This body is a spirit. That's what we are. We're a spirit with a body that houses it, governed by our minds, stimulated with emotion. So everything is a thought, and everything is energy. This show, this was a thought there at one time. This phone that we're on, this whole presence that we're on, that was a thought. The airplane was a thought. Your car, everything is a thought. And there's five things that govern our thoughts. Number one, and the first one I think is the most important of them all, the company we keep. We cannot not be influenced by the company. I mean, we pick up accents. We pick up styles. We pick up mannerisms. Somebody, let's say from Jersey, New Jersey, or someplace up north comes down south. They stay in, maybe Georgia, Alabama, where they've really got that southern accent. And they'll stay down there a year, and they go back up to north, and their friends look and say, hey, good to see you, but you talk like that now? I mean, you dress different, but you eat differently. What's this all about? And so we cannot not be influenced by the company we keep. So there's five things that govern our thoughts, and the first one is crucial. Here's the second one. What we read and watch. Start filling your mind with good things. Number three, the words we speak. Number four, what we listen to. Every day I listen to 2 to 3 hours of some great personal development audio program, and most of them are the ones that I put together. And not to be self-righteous here, but it took me 6 months of concentrated effort to put I have six different motivational minutes audio programs, hour and 20 minutes each. I have two grateful lists that each of those CDs are an hour and 20 minutes, because I instruct my clients to go ahead and write down when you fall out on your knees in the morning and praise God or whomever you consider is your source, that you write down three things every day. Do this for just 1 year. Watch what happens. Write down three things every day that you're truly, honestly grateful for that you weren't grateful for before. You will have a whole new look on life. You'll be just thinking of things all the time. Thank you that my fingernails are growing good. Thank you that I have skin that heals. Thank you that I am living in paradise. That's my three things today, we'll say. Tomorrow, thank you for the freedoms that I have. And granted, of course, we do have a lot of, corruptions in our country. But boy, I'll tell you what, I don't care where I've been in this world. I've been to 25 countries. It's nice being right where I live. So the words we speak, the company we keep, what we read and watch, and by the way, those CDs, pardon me, let me get back to that. So the three things, at the end of the year, I recorded the first 6 months into my recorder with some music in the background. Gosh, I was cramming it in there to get everything in that hour and 20 minutes. And I made another one for the second half of the year. So I listened to one of those two every morning, plus one of my Motivational Minutes CDs, and one of my Goal to Do CDs, which I have three of those. So I work every morning. There's my five CD disc changer. I have three CDs, personal development, and then I get to hear two CDs of some kind of music. Now, here's the trick. If you drive your car for 10,000 miles a year and you listen to positive self-development audio programs in your car about something that you're passionate about, in 1 year, you will have that, in 10,000 miles driving, you will have the equivalent of a college, 1 year college degree. 20,000, 2 years, 40,000, 4 years. So if you're driving a lot, you listen to that, because you're as good as what you listen to, what you read and watch, the words you speak, and the company you keep it. Here's the fifth one, what you consume. Now, everything is a thought. Those are going to govern your thoughts, and everything is energy. When you're outgo of energy through hate, through lousy food, through stress, when your outgo of energy exceeds your income, and your income of energy comes from forgiveness, love, praising people, trying to be of great service. So when your outgo exceeds your income, then your upkeep through statin drugs, psychiatric visits, and all that become your downfall. So when your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall. Same with your finances, but most importantly with your health. So with that in mind, let's talk about, Don, how in the world do we get well safely anyway? Can we go that route?
Can I comment on your recipe for writing down the things that one is grateful or thankful
for? Please do.
I heard you, it may have been a year ago or so, with Dr. A. True Watt on his show talking about that. And I took your advice, but I felt compelled to add a fourth one. And I did it every day since then. And number four said, I am grateful that Dr. Wayne Pickering suggested we only write down three things to be thankful. And I wrote that down. I write that down as number four.
Good one.
And so far, you haven't changed the amount, so I'm still grateful for that.
No, you betcha. Well, you know, about getting well safely, I'm convinced that if we want to fly an airplane, we're not going to look for somebody who crashed. That would be the exact opposite of what we wanted to learn. Well, when we look at the opposite of health, we find disease. So I would encourage you not to go to somebody who studies primarily disease if you want to be healthy, because there's a big difference in health and disease. Now, I'm also going to say this. There's a big difference between trauma and disease. I had an accident. I was training for the Chicago Triathlon one time, Don, and I was in Wisconsin with an old buddy of mine, and we were, now, in Florida, if you have a little hill, that's big. Wisconsin, you got mountains up there. So I was coming down some of them at 55 and 60 miles an hour on my bicycle, can you imagine? And then getting back up to the top was an effort on some of the others. So I was getting a little exhausted because I wasn't used to that terrain. And I was coming down as fast as I could down the mountain, and I was going back up this other mountain. And I was about two-thirds of the way up, and I was just barely, I was up to about 4 or 5 miles an hour just trying to get over that mountain, and three farm dogs took off after me. Now, I think I had a heart attack or something because I had been bothered with my heart most of my life. But the next thing I remembered, I was in a CAT scan in a hospital, a great big tube, and they had 15 stitches in the side of my face, in the side of my head, 8 in the side of my face, almost broke my arm, concussion, neck and a brace for 3 weeks. I don't care how much carrot juice I would have drank. I'd have died bleeding to death. So hats off to the medical community for helping me in a state of trauma. Disease, you're in control of. Trauma, you need some help. So there's a great need for the medical community in a lot of areas. So if you learn the cause of your disease and quit the cause so your body can turn it around and have the best chance of recovery, now you're on a roll. Doctors are very good in three areas: drug administration, crisis management, and surgery if they're specialists. However, permitting your life to be taken over by another person is like letting the waiter eat your dinner. Come on now. So,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. In fact, while you were describing trauma, and you're describing what they label in the medical community blunt force trauma, there's also psychological trauma that can contribute to disease in that sense.
Oh, yes. Now, there are people who are not going to change their lifestyle, or maybe they don't even know how, which is one of the reasons why we put our programs together. HealthAtLast.com, for example. It's a must for your health research library, healthatlast.com. But if you want to take charge of your health, you definitely have options. And by the way, it does evoke change. And I like the saying we coined some time ago, nobody likes change except a wet baby. Now, I wrote a book We've written 9 books, but one of them is called Scriptural Nutrition. And I learned a passage from Proverbs 26:2. The curse causeless shall not come. In other words, without a cause, Don, we don't have to worry about the curse, the disease. And here's what I and millions of other people around the world do just to get well safely. It's called doing nothing intelligently. And you could name it fasting. Now, fasting doesn't cure. Let me tell you what it is. First of all, it's the cause of the disease that's going to do you in. It's not time that's going to kill you. As I say, people think age is their cage. Come on, come on. You can't control your chronological years, only your biological age. Age has nothing to do with how old you are, nothing whatsoever. It's a matter of condition. That determines your true age. So how do you spell relief? People call it Rolaids, Tums. I call it F-A-S-T. So here's what fasting is not. Fasting is not starvation. Fasting is not punishment. It's not a cure-all. As a matter of fact, fasting doesn't cure or heal anything. Here's what fasting is. It's just merely a sensible way to respect your body's magnitude, the recovery mode, I should say, letting it do the best job it can to regain our health. I call it doing nothing intelligently, but here's the bottom line. Under supervision only. If we take prescription pills and we need instructions, it's the same when you fast. Anybody can fast for a day or two and have no problem. But any more than 3 days, you must have supervision. I call it the royal road to internal purity, and it's got to be carried out with dedication, and I'll be sharing with you some of the many, many, many excursions that I've had with fasting and what it did. It was awesome. And when you fast, basically you're on nature's operating table without a knife. And what the body can't do for itself, it can never be done with food, pills, herbs, vitamins, nothing. Fasting is conserving all this energy to get well safely, because 75% of our daily use of energy goes to here. Digesting food, absorbing food, assimilating, and eliminating food. So you have to think about all of the energy you're going to save and use to go ahead and clean house. I mean, there's several medical healthcare practitioners right now in this country, and there are a lot of facilities that you can go. And anybody who would like that list, if you want to email me, I have a list of some, maybe about 10 or 15 fasting retreats, which I'll be more than happy to share with you. And the history of fasting, oh gosh, man, it goes way back to biblical days. It's common throughout. I had a Doberman for 10 years, and it's all common right through the animal kingdom. And I'll tell you, when he used to get, if he had an accident or if he was sick or something, he wouldn't eat. He would drink a little, go over and lay down. Get up a little bit, go over and drink a little bit, go back and lay down. I have birds in the Florida room. They're the same way. So there's nothing unusual about fasting. So here's what happens during a fast. By the way, it's an awesome way to get well safely. All through the Bible, there are tons of references. Moses, Jesus Christ, Daniel, Isaiah, David, Aaron, Ezra, Esther, Zechariah, and all of the great religions of the world, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, and throughout the archives of the church history, people like John Calvin, Martin Luther, John Wesley, all these people, countless others, all endorsed fasting. So here's what happens during a fast. This is good news. The body self-digests fatty tissues, morbid growths like cysts, tumors, cancer deposits, when it has to use intercellular proteins, Don. No, this is good news. No nuclei are destroyed, even after the long fasts. The number of cells actually remain the same as before the fast. Oh, sure, you're going to lose a little weight, which is not really a bad thing when you think about it, especially for the magnitude of the obesity problem we have in our country. But the beautiful thing is, we don't lose the cell count. We just clean up the cell toxicity, do you see? And the cells become younger and stronger than before the fast, and they diminish in size, but not in numbers. Now, there are people right now that I know of personally. Dr. Immelman, for example, fasted people for over 30 years. He showed in his books where he fasted a person for 382 days. Come on. And another fast for 249 days of obese people. And you're going to learn if we don't get to this here this evening. I can remember on my first couple of fasts, it was nothing for me to lose 10 pounds in 10 days. I mean, nothing. So let's get that under control. Fasting is the fastest way I know to get well. Here's a few places that you can go to in the country that embrace fasting. If you want to get your pens out, everybody. The Hippocrates Institute. There's about four or five of them in the country, that, and maybe even more, but very good. The Cancer Research Institute in California, exceptional. The Living Foods Institute. Dr. Goldhammer's True North Health Education Center in California. The Pritikin Longevity Center. There's lots of those around. We've got one in southern Florida. It's called the Regency Health Resort and Spa. Very good. Dr. Scott's Natural Health Institute. I think he's in Ohio. And the Tree of Life Rejuvenation Facility. Excellent. But here's the good thing about when we say we lose weight. Do you realize that, well, in my experience from the several 8-day fasts I've personally gone under, lots of them, where I just lay there on the floor, Don, head to the north, feet to the south, I'll be sharing that with you in a bit, drinking nothing but water, going to sleep with the crickets at night, getting up with the birds in the morning, but I wouldn't get up. I have a huge pen and pad beside me and a gallon of water, and I'll get up, go to the bathroom, come back, and lay down there for 8 days. You will be impressed as what your body will go through when you do such a thing. And that's just 8 days. I know so many people that's fasted 40, 50, 60 days. Now, 160 to 180-pound person, Don, has about 20 pounds of fat throughout their body. 1 gram of fat is 9 calories. 100 grams, or 3 ounces, is 900 calories. 20 pounds of fat is 16 ounces divided by 3 times 20 times 900 calories, approximately 90,000 calories, to function very nicely. You don't have to worry about all that. You'll have so much energy, you'll be climbing the walls. And amazingly enough, your thoughts and ideas that come to your head will be overwhelming. You will be, I wrote volumes of material because your mind becomes so much clearer. And any time that I know that I'm going to write a major project, we just did a huge endeavor. It's called Weight Loss Resource Center. Major amount of work went into that. And I fasted for 2 days to make sure that my articles were just right on target. So your mind becomes so sharp. Now, let's talk about one more common myth here. We alluded to it on one of the previous shows, but it's good to understand right now. The germ theory.
Mm-hmm.
Theory is not a fact. It's a system of assumptions. It's abstract reasoning. It's entirely speculative. And God bless Louis Pasteur. On his deathbed, he admitted that he was wrong about the whole germ theory after spending the greatest portion of his life trying to convince the establishment, and he did a masterful job, that germs cause disease. He said he was wrong. Here's was his dying words. It's not the virulence of the... You can look this up, by the way, anybody. It's not the virulence of the germ that determines the disease entity. It's the resistance of the host that determines the efficacy of the disease process. Now, according to the father of the cell unit doctrine, Rudolf Virchow, He says this, if I could live my life over again, I would devote it to providing that germs seek out their natural habitat, disease tissue, rather than being the cause of the disease. He says, mosquitoes seek out the stagnant water. They don't cause the water to become stagnant. So I would like to suggest that you never catch or inherit disease. I think, Don, we really only inherit really pretty peculiar family. You know what I'm talking about?
But
it's the disease. I mean, the disease will never kill us. It's the cause that'll do us in. I mean, why do you suppose that a drunk doesn't sober up? Because he keeps drinking. Now, when they had all that overload of trash in the city, which brought rats to New York City by the millions some years ago, do you think the people sat around and looked at each other and said, wow, look at all that trash those rats brought? I don't think so. It's the same with the germs in the body. They feed on toxic waste that's already there and are actually a great friend, as without them feeding on that waste, well, it'd be a whole lot worse than it really is. So we really should regard sickness as the real cure. Now, here's one other little analogy I want you to be thinking about for your mental perusal, so to speak. Take a bunch of grapes. Take a bunch of grapes in one hand, a bunch of grapes in another. Smash one set of them. Place both sets of grapes on the kitchen table and come back in 2 days. Now, there'll be no doubt that the ones that were smashed would have fruit flies on them, mold, mildew all over them, but the other ones would be doing very well. Now, why is that? I mean, here the climate's identical. They're in the same room with all the same germs. By today's popular belief system, the ones that were not smashed would be equally as moldy. Well, here's the truth. The cells and the resistance of the smashed grapes were diminished at that time, and the germs fed on the waste, hence cleaning up the environment. It's one of nature's laws, which we can be very grateful for, as what a stinking mess we would find ourselves in if we didn't decompose back to nature. Now, once again, concerning the law of gravity, if you jump out of a 10-story building, you're not going to go northeast. You're going down. We have to be in tune with the law of gravity, just like we have to be in tune with the natural laws of how this awesomely wonderful body of ours works. Let the disease heal itself and allow our bodies to rid itself of the waste. And my strongest recommendation, everybody, stop poisoning yourself if you don't like being sick. But then it comes down to that consideration again. People only want what they want when the want is more than the effort. When we come back next week, I'm going to be talking to you about how you fast. How do you do it? And something else to keep in mind about this whole scenario. If we had a manure pile and we tried to kill the flies that were swarming around it, well, we would never get rid of them. But if we removed the manure pile, then we'd have no more of those pesky flies. And if we remove the cause of our disease, then we don't have to worry anymore about all those pesky diseases. We're already healthy automatically by design and sick only by default. And we only truly get well by what comes out of us, everybody, never by what you put into you. Sometimes we need some medical intervention, in the cause of disease. Like, that's when the pain, you've let yourself go to such an extent that the pain is so intense that just the pain itself is enervating or weakening the body's defense system, dealing with the trauma of the pain. So there are some exceptions there. But don't let your body get that. You understand how your body works. It belongs to you, and not some person in any of the healing arts. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to any physician who may allow you to shovel anything and everything down your mouth with the attitude that you'll be back. Your car comes with an owner's manual, and you need to read it when you want to know something about your car. Well, this interview series that we're doing is going to be your owner's manual to learning how your body works And I encourage you to tune into each one of these hour sessions that we're going to be doing, because you're going to be learning something new and exciting every time, I'll guarantee you. So that's how I get well safely in the years that I've been doing it. And I'll tell you what, Don, it never fails. Never, ever fails. That's the good thing.
Yes. Now, Dr. Wayne, I wanted to, for a moment, just explore what occurs to a person when they're fasting. I don't mean to jump the gun, because I know you intend to talk about this next week. But it's something for the listening audience to consider in during that time, if anyone is considering a fast. And that's the mindset of the person, usually because of hunger pangs. Well, you know, I don't know if I can do this for a week or 40 days because I'll get hungry. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm going to die when I have to, if I can't eat. Or they're having withdrawal symptoms from the toxins and the addictions that they've acquired.
Listen, Don, I don't mean to interrupt you. That's a very good thought. That's why, under supervision only, because when you get in there, now, a lot of people, when they purchase our healthatlast.com site, I let them use that hour that they're going to get coaching, and I'll guide them through that.
Mm-hmm.
But the body self-deposits, self-digests, I should say, all these morbid growths and cancers and cysts and all of that stuff. Now, again, the only thing that's going to cure or heal is your body. No food will heal. No food will cure. None of that stuff. The only thing that's going to cure your or heal your body is to implement all of the components to being healthy, which you're going to learn throughout this whole series. Everybody, Don and I have decided that we're going to share this with you over this next year. You're going to know exactly what to do. And when we decided on Wellness Wednesday, we thought, that's perfect. Let's go that route. And you can. We're going to come back here next year, and we're going to talk about living abundantly, where you're going to learn how to find your career, how to get your finances together, how to be a better communicator, all of that. But right now, we're focusing primarily on how to get well and stay well for life, because if you're not, all else is for naught. Your job suffers, your family suffers, everybody suffers. Nobody wants to be around sick people. Nobody wants to marry them. Nobody wants to hire them. So when you fast, here's what's going to happen. Your body's going to tune in. I was shocked after 3 days. Now, you mentioned this a minute ago, Don. I thought it's a good point to reiterate here. That you're starving or you're hungry. You get hunger pain. I'll tell you, after the first 2 days, you know, it's a mindset, number one. I said, if a man can do this for 60, 80, 100 days, Jesus Christ fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I said, if Jesus Christ can do this, I can do this. And so 8 days, I went 8 days. The second day, the hunger wasn't quite like it was. Third day, the fourth day, I didn't want to eat anything. I said, no way, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to start hearing. You will actually hear the inner workings of your body. And what it's doing, it's incredible. And when you just totally tune in and then embrace the sounds of nature and let that circadian rhythm flow, do you see, along with your body's cleaning, it's the most tremendous thing. But don't do it by yourself over a day, 2 days at the outset. Get some supervision. It doesn't have to be me, but I'll be happy to help you. So I think that when we come back next week, I'm going to teach the people how to fast precisely. Can we do that?
Yes, absolutely. Now, I posted on my website, and this is for the listening audience that want to go back the past couple of weeks. We talked about the perfect mini diet, and I posted some information on my website, and there's a click here. Box there where you can click here and it'll take you to Dr. Pickering's website. And I presume that's a forever running special that you have there.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's a beauty. Now, let me mention, you know, Don, if you would, why don't you tell them when you get to, it's Evident Footprints, plural,
oh, actually,
if I'm not mistaken.
You would go to, no, directlightproductions.com.
Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Yeah, Evident Footprints takes you to BBS Radio. So,
all right. Go ahead and tell them how to get there.
Yeah, you type in directlightproductions.com, and at the top of every page on the website, there is a menu that takes you to an index page for a particular topic. Click on Sponsors, which is in the middle of the bottom line at the top of the page. Click on that, and it'll take you to the Perfect Mini Diet. Click on the title, and it'll open up the page, which has the link and some information. I put Dr. Pickering's bio there. I thought you would be enthralled reading some of what he does and some of his accomplishments, what he's been through in his life. All his contact information, phone numbers, email, everything is there. But you're encouraged to hit that click here in blue letters. Click on that, and that'll take you right to Dr. Pickering's website. And you can check out the Perfect Mini Diet. Now, he's got 3 free gifts just for visiting the site. So you have nothing to lose there. And inform yourself. Browse around the site and read the many topics that he has there. You can spend a whole day there and not read everything that's there.
Thank you very much.
So anything else you want to add, Dr. Pickering, before we...
No. I think that when we come back next week, and I applaud you, Don, for making these kind of shows available to your listening audience. It's we get people signing up to get our weekly column, and with such positive feedback about what you're doing, Don, and the guests that you're bringing to the forefront, expounding on the truth about what's really going on. So hats off to you for what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate hearing that. I wasn't aware of that.
So. Oh, no, gosh, no, we get people signing up. That's no kidding.
Well, you know, the first 3 years we were pointing out all the things that we were discovering about the truth and what we've been led to believe and what we've come to know and differentiating between the two. And for the past year, we've been actually past year and almost a half, we've been providing solutions. And this is certainly one that affects everyone in the listening audience. And there'll be many more solutions just out of this series.
Oh, yes.
And I keep my promises. They're not always as timely as some would like, but I keep them. So anything you want to say as a closing remark before we say goodnight?
Yes. You're in total charge of your body. Learn about it. Any great thing that you embark upon in your life, you want to learn about it. This body is a marvel of creation. It's not some garbage dump with a hairy lid. This is your corporate headquarters. You own 100% stock in a blue chip corporation. Don't sell your stock cheap. Put a high price tag on your stock, everybody. This is your body. Learn how it works and then move on in life, because you don't have time. Living is too short. Dying is too long. Live while you can.
Very well said. Well, Dr. Wayne, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I want to remind the listeners one more time, Dr. Pickering has 25 websites, so to make it easy, go to my website, Direct Light Productions, click on the Click Here button that's there. You'll see it in blue letters, and that's the only website you need to concern yourself with at the moment. And
well, when you go to Direct Light Productions, what's the first thing? They go to Sponsors, is it?
You go to Sponsors, that's correct. Click on
okay,
Sponsors.
Yeah, you bypass that, yes. Okay, yeah. You do Sponsors, and then where do they go from there?
The Perfect Mini Diet.
Oh, okay, I'm learning.
Okay,
good, Don.
And
have a good night, brother.
All right, they call you the Mango Man. Would you share with us briefly why they call you the Mango Man?
Oh, boy. As past president of the National Speakers Association here in Florida, I was asked to do a lot of the monthly audio programs, and I was on every month for 2 years, and that went out to every speaker around the world, all the meeting planners, association execs, and everything. It's called The Voices of Experience. And Terry Brock was the moderator for the one of those years, and he asked if I would like to do that, and I was very, very popular as the Mango Man because we love them. We even have our own brand of mango called the Pickering. There are 3,500 varieties of them, and I just love them. They're an incredibly delicious fruit when you get good ones. And I've never gone to a grocery store yet and bought a good one. Somebody asked me one day, what's your favorite mango? I said, the one I got in my hand, let me tell you.
Okay. Yeah. So we answered that. Few people were asking, yeah.
Well, we'll get into that when I know we have some time to go ahead and expand on that, but that's a quick overview of it.
Okay. Well, I thank you for coming on the show, sharing your wisdom, your experience, motivating us, and dissolving the fear that people are used to paying attention to. I don't feel any fear here tonight, and I'm motivated. I might add a number 5 there on my list. My great
good
list.
Good well, for you, Don. Have a good night.
I wish you good evening and good rest of the week. And I'll be talking to you next Wednesday night on Wellness Wednesday.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and tonight's guest, Dr. Wayne Pickering, the Mango Man, and now we know why. A special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints over at BBSRadio.com. We had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Zura Nova star Livingstone. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.